once our Maisa. The Zainish was Nayeg. He had a chumrah to sell all of his svarim for Pesach together with all the chametz. And he would cover up with paper sheets all the bookcases. It was off limits, out of sight, out of mind for Gantz Pesach. A couple of svarim he would leave out to learn for Pesach, and those he would bombish check every page to make sure that he'd leave them on the table and use them on Shabbat. So someone came to the Chabina Rav and told him that the Chazon Ish only picked out of his library a couple svarim of Gantz Pesach, and he took your sefer, the Koch of Yaakov, he put it on his table, he kept that for Pesach, he wants to learn that. Boy, was he boxed up yet. So Chabina Rav was very sharp. He said, yeah, my sefer, he has no chashash on Sadi Chavos because he never looks at a Gantz Yaakov. So I want to say that tonight, there are people that have Minhagim that observe something about Nitzelnacht. And after picking, they come. It's such a kavaltic accomplishment. They seem to come to you, but do not think they come to you. Shot, they hold it. It's not even Tyre was speaking over here, so allowed to come to the Nitzelnacht. It's okay for them to come. Okay, as that might be.
I never understood the equation of Nitzelnacht to Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av we don't learn because it makes us happy. We get a thrill out of Yom Kippur.
There's all kinds of stories. I heard one story, someone said the minhag used to be that they used to go to sleep very early in Nitzelnacht, and that way they get up at midnight and then go to Beis Medrash then, to be able to sort of counteract the tumma that was in the belt, they had to make more kedusha. And then it just became a minute that you went to sleep early, but they forgot about getting up early. It's rab kaduma, it's taken away. It's nittel, it's taken away. I don't know. They say, of a yahrzeit, it used to be a minute to fast off a yahrzeit. But people find that schwer, so you make a siyum. And when you see him, you have to make up as a kiddush. So now, no fast, and no see him. Well, let's make a kiddush anyway. Let's hope how these things develop, as it might be. Okay, we're trying to wind up a three parts unit so far, Be'ez Hashem. This is the third of three. We're coming to some kind of conclusions on this topic of Zechuyos Yetzer. We have spoken Be'ez Hashem already, that there is a concept, halachically speaking, of Hasagas Gvul, which would prohibit someone for trying to do business with someone else's innovation, and his kiddush, his hamsah, some creative contribution that one person made, is his rights to benefit from that, profit from that, and market it, and someone else can't come and take that. And that minadin really should be la'ilam, because although that's machlokes remark of minet and chasam sefer, we're going like the chasam sefer, because you're always going to be nether from his tircha, his maisa, his ingenuity, creativity, and therefore for you to go and profit from that instead of him is taking those olives or those fish instead of him, and therefore that should always be usher. Divrei Torah have an issue that ma'ani b'chinam. And that could be that the Tekanos HaKadmainim takes that issue away. That's when you have a hamsa, some kind of new innovation, something that's copyrightable or patentable, something like that. That's something that's a new contribution. Then he has the right to do so to get the business profits from that. However, when you're talking about making private copies for personal use, Shimosh Ishi, and Hatakos Pratis, then the whole idea of Yerul Umnus Chaveiro really doesn't apply. Hasagas Gvul Tekanos weren't made for that. Even according to Rav Huna in the beginning of the Sugya of Basra, that said if there's a Rechaim already in a Mavui, you can't have another person put a Rechaim there. Although we don't paskin like Rav Huna, but we do paskin like it in regard to someone of this city could prevent someone from another city coming in. When you have such a tekana in place, so if there's already a rechayim there, there's no restriction on another person grinding his own wheat in his own small home grinder at home. And if there's a barber there, it doesn't mean you can't give yourself or your family members a haircut. And if there's a tailor there, it doesn't mean that you can't sew your own clothes. So when you're not talking about not doing something commercially on a business for the general public, the market, if you talk about managing your own household, you could do your own carpentry, electric, plumbing, whatever kind of accounting, whatever you want to do for your own self, even though there might be a professional in the neighborhood that's doing the same. Whether you're from this city or not city, or this from Mavi or not Mavi, they never made such a gzera. And the reason for that is because Ikir Hadin, none of this should really be Aser. Rav Huna's case, or from another city, should never be Aser, because I'm never actually taking away something that belongs to you. What I'm doing at most is I'm preventing you from a profit you might potentially make. And generally speaking, Menias HaRevach, preventing making a profit, is not considered to be making a hezek. At most, it's Mavadal Kizish HaKaver, preventing a person from doing so. And it really doesn't go into the rules of Mazik. This was a Dekan of the Chacham that had to make specifically for the sake of the Umnim, to make it worthwhile for a person to go into any Umnis, be able to get some kind of a assurance of worthwhileness, and therefore provide that service, which is both for himself profitable to support his family, as well as for the community, the neighborhood, the marketplace, to be able to have that whatever type of a store or service available. And therefore, this is very similar to the line of reasoning that the Chassam Sofer used in regard to the Charamim, that we have to make printing Sfarim worthwhile. We have to make inventing and creativity worthwhile, otherwise no one's going to invest into it. And therefore, on a commercial basis, it's a tekana that we made for the tekanas HaShuk, and for tekanas HaTzibur, tekanas HaKlal, as well as tekanas HaUmnim. And that's in terms of a public market, commercial kind of a setting. But in terms of a private company that I'm making of something, that is not a hasagas gvul. That's not your umnus. I'm not trying to be another uman competing with your umnus. I'm not. There's no business. There's no professional attempt to take what you have. It's on private use. Never. We don't find it, to the best of my knowledge, any mukor to make such a takana. And therefore, the rules of hasagas gvul yer umnus chaverai is, I think, only on a professional or commercial type of a setting, the Avon Miskari for the Shuk, and not for private usage.
I thought you were saying earlier that the source of the idea that, let's say, for copyright or patent would be, that Kalahak source would be the concept of the Paniya Olam versus Ayas, right? So in that case, right, I thought what's going on is there's some sort of there. Either Kenyan in the olives, or
right.
It's not a Kenyan.
Right.
It's Nana from Yoruba, so isn't that true?
Right. So there, correct. In that case over there, even if I just wanted to take some of those olives, even if I just want to take one of those olives to munch on myself for my own personal usage, I'm not taking a crates of it to go open up on a commercial setting, that would be also too, because there would deal with an actual tangible item that the Chacham could say that although you didn't actually make a proper Kenyan on it, we can say it's commandamot the yare dame, it's ki'ilu zachabai, and we'll consider those olives to be yours. So that's when you actually deal with an item, a fish or an olive, to say that that actual item is yours, that no one could take it all. That could be mirubanon and be gezel to mitrehem.
I thought you were saying before that some stuff is on the
chalak. That, in terms of the hasagas gvul of it, that I have the right to make the profits from it, that goes into the din of hasagas gvul. That hasagas gvul dika din, that we expanded, that I'm always able to reap the profits of it, that's a Tekanah Rabbanon over here. And that Gezel, that Din Rabbanon, we didn't call it Gezel, that Din of Asagas Gvul is going to be that I have the sole right to profit from this now, to market it to new customers. We're not talking about this item, this olive. Now you talk about projection into the future because of my Hamsah, now I'm able to do whatever kind of...
The
Rechayim is a case like that.
But that was like a local thing, though. That was like this smugly.
Right.
It wasn't like a global thing. All of a sudden, I invent something on a global monopoly. It just doesn't seem to fit well with the din
The Mavli, we don't pass like Ravuna over there. We do pass like Ravuna regarding an out-of-towner. Right.
Okay, but this was limited to the Mavli.
Right. So I have a right to do this business. Now, that's about a business which isn't my product. That's not my invention. I'm not the first one that made the Rechayim. Right. So then it's just a question of protecting him and giving him the rights over here in this locality or the city or whatever word that Takana applies. But the expansion of that concept with the Hasagas Gvul is that if you're the creator of this and anyone that's ever going to profit from this is going to be piggybacking off of you, is going to try to profit from it from your creativity, that the Chavim Asert. But Yari L'Umnus Chaveir, Obnei Paskas L'Chiyus, you take away my Parnasa, it's when you're going to now professionally compete to me, possibly even close me down or really make a dent in my business. But when you talk about a private, personal usage of it, that's not an umnus. That's not paskas l'chiyusi. That's not taking away my business. Your business. You're the only professional around. I'm just a private guy want to do my own thing. That we never find a chazal aser, a person to make his own rechaim or his own tailoring or any such service.
How far does that concept go, person? In other words, we could just for a class, for sheer, or...
That kind of context. Right now, I'm talking about the inyan of Hasagas Gvul, and I'm saying that my understanding of Hasagas Gvul would not apply to that. I'll jump ahead right now to the question about the classroom usage. Most of these takanais, as far as how they're actually, once we're beyond the scope of what the chacham were masaking, then we have to talk about the meaning that became mekubal in the Velt. And we have to talk about the Dina Malchusa, which I want to get to momentarily as well. It can be reflected by the Dina Malchusa. Now, Dina Malchusa in America and in Israel makes a specific allowance for such usage. I'm reading right now from the copyright law of the United States, from titled 17, that's where all these laws are. It's about 300 pages long. Section 107, subsection 107, it makes an exclusion for something called fair use. Right? Notwithstanding the provisions of all the section 106, 106A, the fair use of copyrighted work, including reproduction in copies or phono records, audio recordings, for purpose such as criticism, which means to be a critic in a journalistic type of way, comment, news reporting, teaching, including multiple copies for classroom use, scholarship, research, is not considered to be an infringement of copyright. That's considered to be fair use. So the founding fathers, when they made these creative laws, realized that that's, if I teach a class and I want to make one page out of a Britannica for my whole class, I'm not expected to buy 30 sets of the encyclopedia. I just copy one page from and give out that one article, and we discuss it.
Maybe that's Yerud
Lumos Chavera, though. That's not Yerud Lumos Chavera. No one is going to buy a whole set of Svarim, or even one whole Sefer, for one page. Right? So therefore, this is not taking away business. The emesis is really doing the opposite. It's whetting the appetite of those students. Eventually, when they grow a little bigger, they'll say, that was a really interesting article. When I could, I want to buy that book. If anything, it's good advertisement. But I'm not taking away business because I'm giving out one article or one page. Now, you have to have a shekel das of how much. If it's going to be a large amount of it, you do page after page after page after page, parak after parak. By the time you're done, you've done the whole sefer, right? So basically, you're giving out the whole sefer, right? So that would be an issue. But when you talk about a limited amount, and the considerations over here are the purpose and character of the usage, the nature of the copyright work, the amount and substantiality of the portion used in relation to the copyrighted work as a whole. If it's a minor amount, then that's not considered to be taken away because it's unreasonable to expect that a person is going to expect get that many copies of the entire work just for one little thing like this. If it's a major thing, then that's like your textbook that you're using for your classroom. So buy 30 copies for your 30 students or 500 for your 500 students. Let them pay for it. But if it's one page out of it, or two pages, or whatever, because it's going to be a minor amount, then that's called fair use. And fair use, they never wanted to usher. Because there's a reasonability over here. And that's beyond what we could expect that anyone's going to buy a whole book for. And therefore, they never usher that. And to be more machmer than the copyright law itself is, I don't think anyone holds it to machmer. And that means that even if they print over there on the first page of the article called Gemara that says you can't even reproduce in any kind of way, 15 different ways of reproducing over there listed, of this material, even one little page, even one little line, even one little word, they're doing that just to be able to intimidate you and scare you off. But halakhically and legally, they have no foot to stand on at all.
That's fair use.
What? That's fair use.
If Rabbi Shachatovitz has a safer,
right,
and I can't get that safer,
right,
I looked for it, could I borrow it, please? I borrow it. I make one photocopy each of 400 pages, and now I have the safer.
Right.
So I limited the author's profitability over here.
What? So if we did one page, that's okay. If we did 400 pages, that's not okay. Right.
It's a diminished, that's the personal use.
For personal use.
A personal use, I think you said before, would maybe be fine.
The question over here was asked by a teacher for a classroom setting. I just read from copyright law about for a classroom setting, which means a whole lecture in a university where you might have hundreds of students over there. It doesn't matter. You could give out that copy now to everyone. Or you could post it, as they do nowadays, and digitally distribute it for everyone to go download from their Blackboard, whatever they call it.
So my example was awesome.
That's a different issue, right. That would not come under fair use.
How about if it's out of print?
No, that's a different issue.
Right. If something's out of print right now, might not be Hasaga school because no one else is in that business right now. Now, if it's temporarily out of print, but the guy is every 10 years, he goes and reprints it, waits until there's a good absence in the market, and everyone's polishing for it, then he reprints it, so that he's still right now in the business. If he's out of the business, then he's out. That's that kind of different shikul das. But this is the question as far as a limited use for one or two pages or one article out of a large work is considered to be fair use, and even legally speaking, that's putter. Originally, Israeli law didn't have that, and then they updated that, and they made that allowance in there. The Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva in Chelek Yud Ches Simen Pei, as I remember it, that to say that copying for personal reading, learning, or for giving out to classes, mutter. But it's really accepted in the Veld that was never the intent to assuring it.
How come I can't assur my own thing on somebody?
You could assur your thing, but I bought this one. It's mine. This book, you wrote it. You're the Mishnah Berurah. You're the Chavetz Chaim. Then this Berurah I bought. I spent $10 for this volume, $50, $60 for the whole set. And now this is mine. It's not yours. And now I want to make a copy of this page over here. Now you can't talk about the Chavetz being yours. Now you have to talk about that I'm hurting your business. I'm not hurting your business if I take up one page. If I start reproducing it en masse, that's a different story. Now, this is all assuming that there isn't the concept of ownership of the intellect itself, the mada, the intangible creation that the Chavetz Chaim, or the author, or the inventor, or the composer, or the programmer made in their creativity. And that's what I went through last week, the Shaila Shalom Eisha, which is the Aves of where they attribute that to, and I believe very strongly that that's not what he's saying. That's not what he says himself in another place. That's not throughout the whole tshuva. He never says Baal, he never says Gezel. His Talmud didn't understand like that. And what he does say again and again is Asagas Gvul. And he says that when we can't talk about making a Kherim, then we just have to do a Dera Bakasha, ask people, please don't do it. Because not allowed to use the terrible word Kherim when that was ushered by the Russian government. Why don't you just say it's Gezel? He never once says that. And therefore, I don't believe that he says it. And I don't believe that the concept exists because the Mishnah brings down the Hilchos Shaver. We said this already. That a Darvish Eibo Mamish is not Shach any Gezel to it. I haven't taken anything away from you. I haven't detracted from your ownership. We could talk about whether I've now inflicted and infringed on your business rights. That's how Hasagas Gvul rules. But talk about taking away an item that you own this creativity, and therefore when I'm recopying that, no matter how many copies down the road it is, I'm still taking away that which belongs to you conceptually. Conceptually, there's no Gezela, and there's no ownership of that beyond the original. And halakhically speaking, and purely halakhically, before we talk about Dinam Achuzadina or Minhagim, I don't believe that exists. I don't believe there's any place that the whole that doesn't
exist. Taking
it
away requires that the original owner does not have it anymore.
If taking something away.
Then it's not taking it away.
Well, Gzela means I take something away from Mechasre Mamon, Rashi says. Gzela means Mechasre Mamon. Mechasre means that you're chaser something. There is a Ramban that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Bikur Chaylim in Siman Yoredeya Shimon Shin Lamed Vav that says that if a person possesses a rare medication, and a patient desperately needs that, and therefore he wants to take advantage of the situation and gouge him for a ridiculous price. So the pill that should cost, I don't know, $50 for this box, I'll charge you $300 for this box. Right? What are you going to do? There's only one around. It's the last one around. Scarce, limited supplies. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you could take it from him, you could even promise to pay him $300, now just pay him $50. Because that's the din of the Gemara says in Yevamos, by a Boreach, person that's being taken advantage for he needs to save his life, is running away for his life, they're after him, and he jumps onto a taxi, and the taxi says that $5 for you is going to be now $500. So for your life, what are you going to do? And when you get out, you just have to pay him $5. Because the value is the value, and taking advantage of the situation doesn't make the value anymore. So there are the Shulchan Aruch paskins, the halacha from the Ramban that says that therefore you can't overcharge for the medication. But what happens if the doctor says, my treatment, my diagnosis, my prescription, right? I'll sell that for you, only for some exorbitant amount. That you have to pay. Because there he's not selling a commodity, the pills. There he's selling his chachma. But chachma ain't le damim, that you can't put any price to chachma. That took him 20 years of hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of investment in his education, and he can now charge what he wants for his chachma. Same thing for a lawyer, for other people that are selling their chachma. Chachmas ain't like damim. That's the lashon says in Shulchan Aruch. So from here there are some that say, so you see that chachma, which is an intangible, is now a sellable commodity, and even has now a premium that it could charge what he wants for it. There's no limit to that. And therefore, you see a source of ownership and saleability of the intangible. So therefore, we now have Mokor for intellectual property. That's what someone would like to say. I have to tell you that although the Ramban and the Shulchan Aruch do use the lashon of that he's meicher es chachmasa v'chachma in leidamim, I don't think they mean in a literal sense that he's selling anything away. He's not giving any of his chachma away. He's just as wise as beforehand. Usually he doesn't teach you too much either. He gives you some instructions. He gives you his diagnosis. He gives you his treatment. He tells you what you should do. He gives you his prescription. But he doesn't sit you down in medical school and tell you about how the Gans Alumnus about how it all works. He's not giving anything away. What he's doing really is that he is teaching you something and you're paying him to teach you. Similarly, and if anyone that's medical over here, forgive my, I don't want to take away from the chashivas of the medicine, but music lessons. So my child wants to learn how to play piano, and I know someone that's an expert pianist, and they charge, I don't know, $25 an hour, and my child goes over there a half hour and learns how to do the piano. She or he has not sold away their pianism, music to the family, right? Had their ability to play music. They've been hired to train my child to play the piano, or to swim, or to do the arithmetic, or to, I don't know, I could get you to teach me, you're a master plumber, I want to learn the trade and teach me the trade, or anything else that you're going to teach me. Teaching someone else is a service, not a sale. It's a service that I'm hiring you to sell me something. I'm hiring you to serve me something and to do the service that your job is, teach me how to play the piano, teach me bar mitzvah lessons, teach me whatever I want to ask you to teach me how to do. Some sefer has a tshuva, Chayshim Mishnah Siman, I forgot what. Memdala, might be wrong, complete wrong. I didn't look at it right now. Tshuva, because some sefer has a tshuva about an apprentice to a master sheichet that paid him to teach him shechita. You could have a mile, you could have many things like this. And one of the conditions was, first of all, you have to pay me a certain fee for teaching you the malacha. And second of all is that there's a non-compete, that there was a condition that you can't ever shecht in my region. Go anywhere else in the whole world, you could be a sheikhet, but not over here in my town. This is my territory. Now, usually non-competes, this is not a serious share for tonight, are not halachically binding. Because you can't, it's a Kenyan Dvar Miyam, you could sell and own items, not Maisim. I can't sell you that I'll come to your bar mitzvah, or that I won't come to your bar mitzvah. I can't sell you that I'm going to Yes, shecht in this town or not shecht in this town, whether positive or negative, you can't make a kinyan on Dvar Miyama. But some server comes up with a chiddush that in this case of the apprentice, you can make a tanai of a non-compete, which is a non-doing something, a kinyan of a negative dvarim, which really shouldn't be binding, because there's a din of pula socher, lo sashe pula socher, you're not allowed to withhold his pay. Now, what is his pay? What happens if his pay would be, right, that I'm willing to do a service for you, I'm going to ask that you'll do something, you'll sing a song, okay? Now, if you don't sing that song, you haven't paid me. I singing a song is only a dvarim bialma. I can't make a kinyan on that, but I can say that's the schiris. The schiris is that you have to do that. Come to my bar mitzvah and do the chazanas over there. Right, so I'm going to hire you for that. Otherwise, you haven't paid me for mowing your lawn or painting your house. That's part of the schiris. So he says, part of the schiris over here, besides paying the master sheichet, which is the employee, to teach me shchita, and you're paying me $1,000, $2,000, whatever, for the training, part of the pay also is, let me keep my own territory, stay away. That's part of the pay. And if you go and encroach in my territory, you haven't paid me my pay. That's his chiddush. So it's a chiddush to be able to finagle that into become part of the pay. But the way he's dealing with it is, it's an employer-employee relationship. It's not a sale. On a sales, then he would still have the problem. You can't sell it over a maisa. This is not a mechira in a real sense, and therefore I don't believe that that's a valid source for this discussion. There is another fascinating source that is quoted over here. I can't remember if I mentioned this already. If I did, cut me off. And that is the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Tesav and Aleph about Goy Shalom Atayra. Did I mention this another time? I don't think so. Okay. The Gemara says over there.
Step back there for a second.
Yes.
Why can't I sell you a sefer on the condition that you sing a song? I'm going to sell you the sefer on the condition you sing a song.
Or likewise, I could sell you a cassette on the condition that you won't copy it. That's where you're going. Right. The problem with that approach of a tanai is that a tanai means that the sale is conditional to the following condition. If that condition is violated, then the sale now is canceled, and I want my full amount of money back. I'll give you back the tape. So if I take that tape, and with that condition, make another copy of it, which will be usher to do, but in case Chas v'Shalom, anyone in the world would ever do that, then they have right to go back to the store, give it back, the original which they don't need anymore, and get a full money refund. Now, if you think that the store or the producer would be happy to do that, then you'll have a good condition. I wager that you won't find such a person willing to give back the money, though they'll want to yell at him, scream at him for what you do that for, right? So a condition that's going to break the sale and entitle the person to a full refund is not the way to go. Some try to go with that, and it doesn't really work. The other way that some try to go, although that's another similar approach, is called shiur. You can be mishayer b'kinyano, which means I'll sell you a car or a horse that you can only ride by day and not by night. So the gabi night riding is still mine. The gabi day riding, it's yours. Or with any other kind of configuration of what I want to be mishayer. So I'll sell this to you for every day except for Shabbos. Shabbos, I still have a Mishabur Seder. So Gabi Shabbos, I didn't sell it to you. The Gabi 6 days a week, it's yours, right? So I can Mishayar B'Kinyonai. So I could sell you that tape, let's say, for all personal use, Kuzuntahayat, it's yours. But for the schus of being able to use it to copy, the Gabi that I'm being Mishayar Li'atzmi. And therefore, the Gabi that I never sold to you. Now, if we would consider that to be what the person said, even without saying it out, or if we would get people to print that on the little album package and say it out, what that would mean is that therefore you would be usher for you to make a copy of it, and if you do, you're a gazlan. Hopefully that'll get some erlach yidu not to do that. But it won't help for once someone does make a copy, right, that second copy, that third copy, is now free-for-all. So it's not really going to be a lot of protection, number one. Number two is, it's not said, but okay, we'll get past that. Number three is, and this is my own little thing, that approach was good 10 years ago. It's not good anymore. And that is because if you see the new generation, they don't walk around anymore with CDs. They walk around with little buds in their ear, attached to this little telephone, cell phone, or iPod in their pocket, right? Whatever it's called, something with an I. Everything's about I. Right? And in order to do that, those little eye things that they have over there that fit in your tiny little pocket can't fit a CD into them. What you got to do is you got to copy from the CD onto your little device, your chepza, your tchotchke, and that tchotchke then can carry around, which means that the market now tells the producer, you're selling it to me on manas that I can recopy it. There's no shear of no rights to copy. There's a clear das, I want to be able to copy it. And if you're going to tell me I can't copy and put it onto my iPod and listen with those buzz in my ear, I'm not going to buy it from you. A large chelik of the population. I'm not saying everyone does like that, but there is, take a look at the younger generation. They're all walking around with these things in their ears, the guys are talking to themselves. What they're doing a little bit. But that's what, you see it all over. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So then the stam das of the market is that you sell music recordings, and shiurim also the same thing. There used to be Walkmans with these big tape recorders over here, and then you don't have that anymore. It's everything's digitized, which means that you have to copy it over, which means that it's sold up in us that can, yes, be copied. So that shiur might have been around 10, 20 years ago. It's dead now. So the tanai doesn't work, and the shiur doesn't work. I want to tell you all this Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that a goy, shalom ha-teirah, is chayiv misa. No testament on the top of the page. So Gemara asks, as a member from Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Shua Levi, I don't remember right now, take a look on Sanhedrin, on the testament of. So Gemara asks that, how can you tell me that it's chayiv misa, im kain, it should be from the Zion Mitzvah B'nai Nayach? And we only have Zion now, there should be another one. It's Aser Lomo Torah. Right? The Gemara, that's the whole sugi over there in Sanhedrin about the Zion Mitzvah B'nai Nayach. The Gemara answers because the Pasuk says, Torah Tziv Alon and Moshe, Marosh Akilas Yaakov. And there are two drashas in Chazal, what it means, Marosh Akilas Yaakov. One says, Marosh is a lashon of Yerusha, as though it's an inheritance that we Arshin is now given over Midor Dor, that's the Nachlas Yisrael, that we have Baruch Hashem, Teres Hashem given to us, and not to them. If they, another drasha is that Altikri Morosha Kilas Yaakov Ela Mu'urasa, like Erisin and Nesuin and Kedushin. So Mu'urasa Kilas Yaakov, the Torah is now wedded and married to the Jewish people. It's ours. We marry the Torah. And therefore, if a goy is Laima Torah, it's Kila Baal, Naira Murasa. She's a Naira Murasa, the Torah is now Arusa, Mu'urasa, Lakilas Yaakov, Deklai Yisrael. And a Naira Murasa, a Ashes Ish that has Eris in a has a full din of Ashes Ish, she's also to anyone else. And therefore, if a goy now learns Torah, he's like his boy, Naira Murasa. So, Dr. Gemara. So, if you hold that Drasha, Murasha is like Yerusha, so then it's already included in Zion Mitzvah B'nai Nayach, because it's Yisro Gezel. And if you hold that it's Naira Murasa, it's already included in Zion Mitzvah B'nai Nayach. It's Nus, it's Arias. So that's why it's not counted as Zion Mitzvah B'nai Nayach. Well, so some want to say, so you see this Gemara over here says that if the Goy learns Torah, then he's over on Gezel. Now he's just taking away an intellectual knowledge of the Torah. He's not taking away our Torah from us, right? He's just learning it. In those days, learning was Baal Peh, Kamat Kulay, except for the Chav Dalet Svarim. And now he's going to start learning over the Torah Shabbat Peh, or whatever he's going to learning. Not taking away from us, we still have it. So then you see Gezel applies a field to just the Machshavas Adavar, even just the abstract, the concept, the Darvish Ebo Bamish. And Ava Pika Shai Gezel, the Chayr, not like the Kesem Mishnah on the Rambam Hilva Shafer. So first of all, the Rambam in Perek Vav, I think, of Hilchos Melachim brings down that Gemara, together with another Gemara that he brings down, that's the previous page, Nachum Chesam Beis, that says the Goy that's Shemer Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. And the Rambam says in both of those cases, that is Chayiv Misa Ava Ema Misa Nosa. So what means Chayiv Misa? It means we tell him that it's wrong, we tell him that it's bad, tell him that you could be Chayiv Misa for this, but we're not going to kill you for it. Which means at best it's Chayav Misa Rei Shemayim. Or the Kesem Mishnah says it means it's an asmachta bialma. It's just a drasha. It's just an asmachta. It doesn't really mean it's a genuine limud. It just, it's a machshava like that on some kind of level. So that itself tells us something important. And this is a point I really want to share that's very important. let me do before I get to that. It can't mean in a literal sense. Because maybe you could come up with this whole concept and argument to say that there is ownership of intellectual property, which is Dorashim Mamamish, and it really doesn't fit into any classic guidelines, structures of halachic ownership or stealing. But maybe you want to come up with that. But can anyone over here defend the position to say that if a goy learns Torah, then he's right now doing a mice of Gila Arayas and he's boiling an iron morosa? Can anyone tell me where there's a mice of Bias Asuras over here happening? You can't tell me that in a literal sense and with a straight face. It's not. It's not Balaman Arasa, and that's like what's not Gezel. Both of them are both totally don't fit any kind of guidelines we have for Arias or of Gezel, neither. However, and this is a big however that I really want to share. However, the Gemara is not joking when it says something. It's speaking in Torah terms. Recently in the Parsha and Parshas, well, you gosh, was it? Was earlier. Pasuk says, after Rachel Yemeno died, Vayishlach, that Vayishkav Bila, Ruvain, as Bila, Eishes Aviv. Now, he was not Sheikhev, an Eishes Ish. Chas v'shalom. He was not Nogeya, a Negiya Kala Kol Dehu. The Gemara says what he did was that he took the Mitasai Shel Aviv from one aisle to another aisle. So how could the Torah speak in terms of something that's not emes and say some vayishkav, mamash amaisa gila rayas chas v'sholem? It's not even emes. Yeah, how can you say something like that? How's the Torah right? Torah is emes. Torah says, the Torah is over here being yoreh to the oimek and sherish advarim and saying that someone that can meddle in his father's private affairs is b'sherish the same thing as someone that can megala eishes aviv. That which a Ruvain, a Tzadik Gomer, could do to even involve himself in the slightest cult of who of a Shaykhah to such an Indian. On a grub, a grosser level for someone else, who must be Shaykhah of Eishas Aviv. So there lies already the Sheirish Hadavar, and that's how the Torah speaks in the ultimate sense. He did something that had a Shaykhah to that, and therefore the Torah could speak in those terms. But it doesn't mean literally, don't actually think he ever was Nogeya in the slightest hair, if she wasn't even there at all. But for him to get involved, likewise, the Torah Gemara over here is saying that for a goy to come and meddle in the intimate, close, personal bond that we have with the Torah is tantamount to Naira Murasa. Right? In the Torah terms, on a starker level, on a much more expanded level, it would be a Baila Namarasa. A person that could do this could eventually come to do that. But right now he wasn't Baila Namarasa, he was Laman Taira. But you have to respect some boundaries. You have to know that's someone else's domain. That's not yours. If you can't respect that boundary, then you'll go all the way to Namarasa too. But it wasn't actually Namarasa. And likewise, Gezel, it doesn't mean this is actually Maisa Gezel. It's not. As we spoke the whole time, this is no Gezel over here. But Abba Piki, you have to know that this is the person's creativity. This is the person's learning. This is Klal Yisrael's, the whole lifeblood is our learning, Liman HaTorah. This is what keeps us alive all these years, all these centuries. It's only the Am HaTorah, it's the fact that we have Torah. And now you're going to go, the grub of Goy is going to go over here and try to, that's Galut Yavon, that's Choshech Le'elam. That's an intrusion into our most inner self. That's a Gezel, that's taking away that which belongs to me. And that's the Gemara speaking in those kind of terms and says it's Gezel. The Rambam says, it's true, it's Chayav Misa, that would be a B'nai Shemayim de Gezach. We can't give a Misa for that. It doesn't fit into our rules of Gezel. It doesn't fit into our rules of Naim Rasa. But B'sherish HaDvarim, there is something there. Which then makes me stand back and say, hey, you know what that means to this whole sugya? Everything we've been saying until now, that I don't believe there's anyone or any real basis al pi halacha to make a position of ownership and of gezel in regard to intellectual property, it's Darvish Eba Mamish, the Kesef Mishnah, except as we've spoken already, Kol Mar V'Reach, Eim B'Hem Hashem Gezel, Eim B'Hem Me'ilah. That's true in Dinei Adam. That's true in Chayshem Mishpat. That's true in the guidelines of what really defines gezel in the Beinu Chaver kind of level, in Dinei Adam. But in Dinei Shemayim, there is something to it. This person worked hard to create something. And now you're going to go and make copies of it, and if you're even going to give it out, right? Epis vast, there's a shemitz of gezel there. Maybe it's a dini shemayim digga level. Maybe it's beyond what we could prosecute in Beis Din, in Dinei Adam, as being mamish gezel. But there's a Dinei Shemayim that's above that. And therefore, everything we're speaking until now is saying, Api Din, there's no gezel over here. We just have Hasagas Gvul, and that's on a commercial level, that's not on a private level. All these kind of guidelines that we're making, when Dina Mechuzah applies, Dina Mechuzah itself was focused on the commercial setting. That's all as far as Dinei Adam goes. But in Dinei Shemayim, Dehainu, a Baal Nefesh that really understands, it's still not right. I mean, the most basic, if I do something creative, whether it be composing a sefer or composing a song or a book or an invention or whatever, a creative kind of a copyrightable, patentable kind of a creativity, and then I'm going to see someone, I'll just go take it, pirate it, and sell it, and make their profits out of me. Without anything further than that, I would be bothered by that. I worked hard, and now someone's just going to go and take it like that and make light like I don't exist. I'm nothing, right? So Madalach Sanach L'Chabruch Osavid is a hergish. Is that gezel? No, it's not gezel. But in Dinei Shemayim is still not erlich. It's still not right. What the guidelines are, what the limits or how the extent of this goes, is still what needs to have the shikul das. But that's where I think that Gemara and Sanhedrin is alerting us to, that there's a Dinei Shemayim, there's a higher level of the finer sensitivity to gezel, which isn't the Chayshe Mishpat definition of actual gezel, which we still also have to take into account before we just go and walk all over someone else and do what he's doing, even halacha itself would maybe not answer that. Then we said already the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that says even when there's Machlok Zabrashi and Rabbeinu Tam about Anim Hava Harara by Betzia and by Becher, even though we paskel in the kula like Rabbeinu Tam, but a Baal Nefesh Yachmer like Rabbeinu, like Rashi. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav at the end of Sun Vav in the Hilchos Nezikin and in the Chayshe Mishpat says, likewise, the Gabba Yerdam Eschoro, it's a Midas Chasidus. Rama, we said in Perikei of Hilchos, the Deus talks about a Tamil Chacha. One of the Midas of Tamil Chacha is in a Yerud Umdus Chaveri. Now, that which goes into Halacha is not for a Tamil Chacha, it's for every single Yid. Well, Shulchan Aruch is not written only for Tamil Chacha. Tamil Chacha can understand the Shulchan Aruch. We have to all live by the Shulchan Aruch. So why does it say a Tamil Chacha is in a Yerud Umdus Chaveri? That means even finer points that aren't halachically enforceable in Beis Din, a Talmud Chacham doesn't want to step on someone else's toes. He says, this is yours, I respect yours, that's yours, I'm going to stay away from it. They have a sensitivity. That's the Baal Nefesh, that's the Bedina Shemayim, that's the Talmud Chacham that goes beyond the letter of the law. So a lot of that which we've been speaking until now is defining the letter of the law, Pi Halacha, which is very limited to the commercial setting of being Yerud Umas Chavero and commercially competing with someone else and not applying to personal usage. No.
Has it all applied when there's going involved?
Say what?
Has it all applied when there's going involved? Are there other competitors going involved?
Again, when we're talking about Api Halacha, the Hasagas Gvul Dikat Dekanes, Yerud Umas Chaveri, and Paskas Lechiyu say it, Ani Mahab Bechararar, and Ani Menachem Rosh Hazayas, and Archim Sudas Dogim, these are all Dekanes Drabanan. Dekanes Drabanan, by Masachim Kuvi, Raman speaks out, we don't make the Dekanes Drabanan for the Goyim, we go with them, be there according to Dinehem, and that which is legally, that's a question of Dina Malchus Adina, but we don't have to go and add on our Dekanes Drabanan. So anything we're talking about the Dekanes Drabanan don't apply, it's only applied between Yidin. We won't get it right now into the issue of Tinech Shanishpa. But when we're talking about Lufnim Yishuv Sadin is not Yigafil by Goyim. We should still be Erlach in any Amen too. I can't tell you it's enforceable. I can't tell you it's, we could say it's absolute requirement. There's an Erlach kite. This is yours. Chazal, I'm not going to touch it. That kind of mida, Madalach Sadi, even though I have to Reyacha Kamaycha, it's really Reyacha. Reyacha is Nachayid, rather than Nachakum. But the hanhaga of that erlachite, api a musar, api a bal nefesh, api dina shemayim kind of level, the chayra is universal. That which is api a lacha, has much more limitation.
When you're talking about like the Rebbe to copy 30 copies, he's saying halacha, it's okay.
And halacha lemaisa, that's the minig. It's accepted. That's normal. It's unreasonable to expect to copy a whole book or buy a whole book for every one of the Taminim, and that's why the law itself says, the copyright law itself says, that for educational purpose you're allowed to have a minor amount to copy it.
For somebody,
and that becomes the minig. It also goes according to minig. The minig is that of Adah Zichr Mutter.
For somebody in the same Mavli to open up a competing place, so halacha you said it's Mutter, but...
Abilacha, it's Mutter, the Tamachacha wouldn't do it. The Tamachacha wouldn't do it. I can't necessarily, in no case.
Between the koi though, Rosh says Dinah Machmas Adina, so there's no copyright law in halacha, but there is a copyright law in civil law.
That's right. Right, but we were speaking, for instance, in a classroom setting, the law itself says that that's fair use, that a minor amount of a.
I'm talking about just generally.
Yeah, no one's going to be mantra even apir lacha to go in and reprint and take away his business. But for let's make a private copy of a pager, that the law itself forbids it, and whether that law was ever accepted at halacha lemaisa in practice in private non-commercial usage, you're talking about making a copy for personal uses at home, very questionable about whether it was every ungenummen, sign the Yiddish belt, sign the Goyish belt, whether. It's, the law itself doesn't differentiate. I'll just tell you, the Congress wrote at the end of this 300-page law, just read you a few words. The Congress is the sense of Congress that the United States intellectual property industries have created millions of high-skilled, high-paying United States jobs and pay billions of dollars in annual United States taxes and revenues. That means two things. Our economy benefits from it, and we, the government, benefit from it. Therefore, the United States intellectual property industries continue to represent a major source of creativity, innovation, business, startups, skilled job creations, exports, and economic growth and competitiveness. Counterfeiting infringement results in billions of dollars in lost tax revenue for the United States, as well as for the United States companies each year, and even greater loss in the United States economy in terms of reduced job loss, growth, exports, and competitiveness. What they're speaking about is the commercial setting. If the market is going to be like that, it's going to be affected. Billions of dollars for the companies and for the government. You're making a copy at home. Right? They didn't matter it directly, right? But it does not going to affect the economy. It's not going to affect the tax revenue of the country. The Tekanas B'nai Abedina, which is the base of the Dina Mechus becoming Dina Apidin, is when a Tekanas B'nai Abedina, Tekanas B'nai Abedina, is that the market should work and people should respect it. In a pharmaceutical company that spends $1 billion to make a, they should be able to market that and be able to and get the profit from it. If someone wants to make his own at home and treat himself, as a question of Sakana, but that's not going to affect the economy or the tax revenues. That's not what the Tekanah was all about. Tekanah was about the commercial setting. So the Ikar Dina Mechus Adina is the guy of the commercial as well. There's more to speak about it, but we have to move on, Bezer Shem. Copyright laws is easily available.